Since the dawn of time and birth of man, life's most epic battle has traversed the ages. A battle beyond muscle and mind, but of spirit and soul. A battle of good versus evil. Evil waits, crouching, anticipating for the right moment to attack. In rage, it violently assaults everything in its path with no hesitation, no remorse, and no concern for the devastation it leaves behind. And no one on planet Earth is safe. No one can hide. No one can escape its fury. Everyone is affected by its curse. Darkness blankets the land. Satan, the father of evil, and an army of demons prowl the earth, stalking their prey. They tempt you with evil's most deadly weapon, sin. And sin has one goal, one mission, one purpose, to separate you from God. Sin. Sin is the world's only uncontainable, uncontrollable, unmanageable problem. From sin, every curse and epidemic finds its birth. It is vile. It is wicked. It is selfish by intention and prideful by choice. Sin, the world's only uncontainable, uncontrollable, unmanageable problem. And it wants you. It finds you in a moment of confusion, weakness, and desperation. It pleases the eye, deceives the heart, and controls the mind. Because it wants you. It desperately wants you. Your conscience fights it, but temptation is relentless, and your own self-will stands no chance. Temptation turns shame into desire, feelings of guilt into pleasure, and disposes of truth for lies. Because it wants you to enslave you. Sin will make you a puppet of evil, a slave of unrighteousness, a son of Satan, a daughter of darkness. And its fate is death. But even in the midst of life's most epic battle, we are not alone. Christ comes in glory and splendor. His power unfathomable, His holiness unstoppable. Evil and sin stands no chance. Satan is smashed. Death is defeated. Christ moves in to save the weary soul and to restore His relationship with man. The battle is over, and Christ is the victor. The wounded are healed, and the world is restored. Since the dawn of time and birth of man, life's most epic battle has traversed the ages. A battle beyond muscle and mind, but of spirit and soul. And good prevails.
Amen. Tonight, it is an honor and privilege for Scott to be here tonight to share with us. He's been with me since the beginning, when we were just praying, and I just feel it's an honor to have this man with me. He called me up, it's been probably a couple months ago, and he said to me, he goes, "Greg, thank you for these last 3 years of seminary school." Because we have battled together and fought together and cried together and learned together. And it's a great privilege and honor, Scott, for you to come and minister with us tonight. Come on up here.
Big enough font, I think, that can get by.
Hey, welcome back to Tuesday Night Ignite, which is how it's supposed to be. And sorry, I messed that up. Yeah, who'd have thought that, 3.5 years ago, that a little prayer group would be keep churning and just discovering more and more about the glory of God and the closeness of walking with Him. And it's just been a privilege, and man, we're not there. You know, we're growing and going and learning, and it's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing. So there's 4 or 5 great preachers that hang around here, and Mark and Billy and Brandon and Greg, and tonight you get me. It's not my gift. But I'm just going to share with you guys just a little bit of what God's been dealing with me for the last year or 2 years. The matter of obedience and prayer. Sure. And so, you know, we're surrounded by churches that want to make us comfortable. They want us to feel good. They want us to, what can you do for me? What can I get out? You know, if I come to church, what can I get? What's there for me? Instead of the focus, the true focus should be on the risen King, on Jesus Christ. It's all around, you know, feeling good and getting something from being there. And it's just not, if we read his word and we read the red letters of his word, it's challenging. And it's not about us feeling great. And it's not about us getting what we want. And it's not about blessing upon blessing coming to us. That's great if that happens. I love it. I love what God does and the blessings of my life. Man, I love it. But that's not the purpose. That's not the purpose, right? And so we start talking about obedience. And then the first thing people say is, like my brother here would say, hey, don't get legalistic. Don't go there. You know, don't try to add anything to our salvation now. You know, it's grace and only grace. And it's true. It's Jesus. We are saved by grace alone. His work on the cross did everything for us. We need nothing else. We need nothing else. It's him and him alone. The love that Jesus showed by leaving heaven, leaving the riches of his Father's house, the glory that he had with his Father, put on flesh, walk in humility, restraint, and obedience. And he did this to save us. The love and obedience that Jesus showed is an example of how those committed to him should live. He is our image that we look to of he has done it. So we look to him to show us. He defines love in total abandonment. And that's where he wants us. This means that we must leave our old ways. We have to turn and walk together with him. So when we run into the cross, when a man runs into the cross, if there's not a brokenness and there's not a turning, it needs to be looked at, because the cross should break us, right? Yeah, that's right. We look at verses like Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Or the parable of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, hey, what must I do? I'm just going to paraphrase this. What must I do to gain eternal life? And he said, well, you know, you have to keep the laws and you have to do this stuff. And the young ruler said, I've done all that. I've done it. And he said, well, there's one more thing you need to do. And he said, you need to sell everything, give everything away, come and follow me. And what did the rich young ruler do? Walked away sad. He couldn't do that. He couldn't do that. And people say, well, these are harsh. This is Jesus being harsh and setting a high standard that nobody, that it's just harsh things he's asking us. But I'll bet you if we could see his face while he was talking to the disciples about denial, and he's talking to the rich young ruler about leaving things behind and following him, I'll bet you there was nothing but compassion and love in his eyes when he did that. You know, people want to say, gosh, that's too hard. We can't possibly do that. Well, I think we can. You know, I think we can. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do that. He walked away sad. Obedience is what he desires. He wants us to not just be hearers of his word, but doers. Yeah. If we hear his word and then nothing happens when we hear it, we got a problem. There's another problem. So John 14:21 says, whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him. And here's the great part. I will show myself to him. Huh? I will show myself to him. And that's what we want. We want that. We want to see him. We want to see him manifest. We want to see, we want everything that he has for us. And by following his commands, we are the ones who loves him, who love him. We show we're the ones who love him. In return, he loves us and shows himself to us. It's wonderful. But as we do this, there's a thousand things that'll pull us away from him. He beckons us to come. We, the church, are part of the joy that was set before him in Hebrews 12. We are part of that. Us. He loves us. He wants us. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to follow his example. And that's what we're going to, and that's what we try to do. We press on. We press in. And here's the question that some may ask. It's like, I love God. I worship him. But I want to know him more. Hallelujah. I want to walk in his presence. I want his power pressed into my life. I want to experience him more and more. Man, we say, I just want him to show himself to me. I long for that. And we spend time with him in our prayer life, in our prayer closet, in his word, through the filling of the Holy Spirit. He shows himself to us. We know here, you hear Greg and Billy when he preaches, and Mark when he preaches, Brandon when he preaches. Everybody talks about this prayer closet. You know, everybody. And I'm sure that there's some that would just go, well, what is this? What is this prayer closet you guys are talking about? Everybody's saying this prayer closet. What is it? What's it look like? What could it be? So in Matthew 6:6, Jesus says, go to the closet, shut the door, and pray to the Father in secret. What does this look like in our lives? And I'm just going to share a little bit about what it is and a testimony about what it is in my life, what it's been, and how it's evolved. How it's evolved, really. And back in, I don't know, the mid-2000s, you know, I was attending church, and prayer wasn't mentioned a lot. But man, God had it on my heart. I mean, that prayer is so important, and it wasn't really being emphasized and taught. But I just knew in my spirit that this prayer thing, man, is, there's something to it. And so I started in my basement. Every morning I would go down there, and I had notebooks, and I'd write out what I was praying about, who I was praying for, all these things. I'd write them out every day. I wrote them down. And Darnell and I were talking about today. I bet it was 2 years I did that. Every day, maybe, I think the days I didn't do it was Sunday, the days we went to church. But every morning, I was down there, and I'd write it all out and pray. And it wasn't really the secret place that I have now, but it was really an introduction to me on prayer. And it proved to me, as I go back now, and that's been 8, 9, 10 years ago, I still have a bunch of those, I have a pile of them, of those journals. And I can go back and look through them and see, oh, yeah, look at the stuff that I was praying for. And look who I prayed for. And look who was healed. And look what came to pass. And there's some that weren't healed. And there were some things that I prayed for didn't come to pass. Okay. It's just a matter of being dedicated and obedient in our prayer lives. And it was just a great experience. And I just, I'm blessed through that. And now it's a little different. It's a different room, and my prayers are a little different in there. And now I've just I love the prayer closet. I got to tell you, I love it. I've spent hours and hours in there and loving him, worshiping him with my notebook. And sometimes nothing gets written down. Sometimes things get written down. But loving him, listening for him, and just building this intimate relationship with him is what's going on. We can't have a relationship that's built on a one-time encounter. If we come to salvation and we receive, we're covered by the blood of Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit, and that's it. Then we go back about our lives, we go back about our life, and we don't pursue him, we don't pursue that relationship. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if we're truly going to follow him, we want to know him. We want to have that relationship with him that gets stronger and grows deeper and deeper over time and is nurtured only by spending time with him. In time with him and time in his word is the only way that these relationships are going to be nurtured. It's the presence of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who is consistently communicating with our spirits if we're willing to spend time and just listen. As we start this life of abiding in the vine, we are nurtured and we are pruned. Yeah? And anybody that knows this process knows what it is, man. And it goes on. The pruning goes on if we allow it. And, recently I just went through it. You know, I was sharing my brothers. I was just crushed by the Holy Spirit. He had shown me some things in my heart, some pride, envy, jealousy. They're no good. And, you know, a lot of times we get caught up. The big things are put away. The big stumbling blocks are put away. But there's all these little things. And some of them we may go, well, that's my personality. And that's how I am. And those are things that he wants to pull out by the root. And as A.W. Tozer says, there may be a little blood when he pulls them out. Because those are ingrained in us. Those are things that become part of us. But they're not of him. So we have to allow that pruning. And as I was going through that process, I wasn't depressed. And I shared with some other guys. And they're like, oh, brother, cheer up, you know. And it's like, I wasn't depressed. I know that God was using this. And I realize it's a part of the sanctification that he's leading us through as we walk with him. And I know that I'm never going to be perfect. And I know that some of these little roots are going to, I'm going to have to go back and pull out some more of them, you know. But that's okay. That's okay. I know we're going forward in him. We press on. Philippians 3:13-14 says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I have a quote from Tozer here that's a little long, but it's really pretty good. So this is from A.W. Tozer. It's probably written 40 years ago maybe, but it's pretty relevant. We need no new doctrine, no new movement, no key, no imported evangelist, no expensive course to show us the way. It's before us as clear as a 4-lane highway. To an inquirer, I would say, just do the next thing you know you should do to carry out the will of the Lord. If there is sin in your life, quit it instantly. Put away lying, gossiping, dishonesty, or whatever your sin may be. Forsake worldly pleasures, extravagance in your spending, vanity in dress, in your car, in your home. Get right with any person you may have wronged. Forgive anyone who may have wronged you. Begin to use your money to help the poor and advance the cause of Christ. Take up your cross and live sacrificially. Pray. Attend the Lord's services. Witness for Christ, not only when it's convenient, but when you know you should. Look to no cost, no fear, no consequences. Study the Bible to learn the will of God and then do his will as you understand it. Start now by doing the next thing and go on from there. We can say we want God, we thirst for him, we desire him, but if we're living disobedient, we may not get all that God has for us. Like I said before, we're part of the joy that was set before him. He came to rescue us. Yes. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you. This is Thessalonians 1:11. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. Don't put off time of worshiping or praying with him or being in his word. And we can come up with 100,000 excuses. If you say, I'm too tired to spend time with him and let him energize you. If you say, hey, I'm too busy to spend time with him and let him add time to your day. If you say, I don't feel close enough to him to spend time with him now, spend time with him and let him draw you close. If you say, I'm too overwhelmed with my circumstances, you don't understand, to approach him now, spend time with him and let him carry your burden. There, like I said, there's a million reasons we can find. But I urge you tonight, don't go tired or lazy about your time. We dedicate to him in praise and worship and prayer in his word. I'm going to leave you with this. Psalm 41:16. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. Amen.
Who he was talking about those great preachers. Well, I think we got another one. Who was it, Mark, that would read his sermon and it would be so powerful? What was the preacher's name? Was it? Mark always tells me about it. This guy would actually, this is how he would speak. He would work, he'd like this, and in a monotone voice, and it was so powerful, it would electrify the audience, and it was so powerful. And what I was just watching, Scott, I was like, he was just, you know, so calm, but yet the Spirit of God was just working through him. That's what we're talking about. It doesn't have to be the crazy dynamic nuthead like me. It can be come through just like that, man. How powerful is that? Tonight, the reason why I guess I'm a little emotional, and he doesn't know this, I've already shared it with Darnell and some of the leadership. Tonight, it's a privilege of mine that we get to empower somebody for ministry. Tonight, I want you to, from this moment on, and I know we already, some of you already do, but I want you to recognize Scott as a pastor of Ignite, of Springville. He is, I want tonight to empower that in his life. I want to pray over him. We're going to do that. I'm going to have some the men come up. And we're going to be praying over him and placing him in a position tonight, which while we do this, I know that that means that there is a lot more deflection that the enemy, or things that the enemy is going to put up. So we need to put up a shield around him. But I have seen this man's life. I have watched it. You know, when he was telling me about, even this last week, about the pride, I'm like, man, I haven't seen an ounce of pride in that man. But I know that like he said, I saw him that first day, and he was kind of, it wasn't depression. It was just, you know, he was in that secret place. And I could tell that the roots, and there was a little blood. I could see it almost as if there was a little bit of blood there because he had just pulled out, you know, how could you pull out a hair or something? Sometimes you get a little blood there, you know. I could see that somebody had ripped something out, and he was like a little bit painful. So I called him the next day, and I'm like, hey, listen, don't stay there. I can't have you stay in there. And he goes, oh, I'm okay. And that's the whole thing that we were talking about with sanctification. It's that dying, it's that ripping out in that root, and then it's that pursuing, that vivification and that mortification. I die to this so I can live to this. And that's what I have seen in him. And so it is a privilege tonight. It is an honor for me to place this on him, and we're just, all we're really doing is recognizing something that the Lord has already done. This isn't Greg empowering this. This is something that the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit has already said, I have set him apart for this purpose. But in doing this, we are going to pray for him tonight. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Pastor Mark, Billy, Ron, the leadership group. I'm going to have Dave, I'd like you to come up, and Thad. And if any of the other men would like to come up, I would like us to lay hands on him. And come on up right now, guys. And we're going to lay hands on him. And I want to pray over Scott as we do this. And I'm going to ask you to reach your hand forward. This is an active participation thing. This is us coming together and in agreement over him. And empowering him for ministry. And I want us all to, I want you to recognize the Holy Spirit's work in his life and what God's doing. So, Heavenly Father, right now, first of all, Lord, we just give you this man. Lord, he is already yours. He has chosen by his dedication and where he's at, Lord, in purpose and in direction, that he belongs to you. So God, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, we set him apart for purposes of noble, a noble vessel. God, a vessel that has been set apart for the purposes of God. And Lord, we surround him with men right now. And God, we come into agreement and link arms with him right now in the name of Jesus. And God, we want to recognize that which you have already determined. God, that which you have already spoken in heaven. God, you have declared. Lord, we just come into agreement with that tonight. Holy Spirit, I ask for that empowerment over his life. God, I pray that from this moment forward, I pray a hedge of protection around him, around his wife, Darnell. God, as they go into ministry together, Lord, even as they leave this week to go to Mexico, God, I pray for that empowerment over his life. The Spirit of God, I pray, Lord, that the gifts of the Spirit, discernment, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, gifts of healing, miracles. God, I pray that the gift of tongues and interpretation over his life, speak through him, I pray, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. God, we are slaves to righteousness. And God, right now, I pray as these men reach out and touch, I pray, God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit would come through. The power of the Holy Spirit would move upon him. God, all we are doing this evening is recognizing that which you have already spoken. And God, we come into agreement with that right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. God, we thank you for that which you're doing. We thank you for the call of God upon his life. God, I pray that in that secret place, that it increases even more in greater measure, in greater power, in greater authority. We thank you for it, God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What a privilege, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yes. What's exciting about watching this is I told Darnell and Scott the other day, they've been married for 40 years, and I said they act like newlyweds because they are so in love. And we went out to dinner with them not too long ago, and I told my wife, I said, honey, did you see Scott was just caressing her hair and loving her the whole time during dinner? And I'm just like, wow, Lord, if we could learn that as a model for, and what it is, it's not done by a man's attempts. It is done by the Holy Spirit of God. And the thing is she sees the call of God. She sees the changes. Men, I want this to be your example. You want your wife to fall in love with you. Fall in love with God so much. I will tell you right now, you fall in love with God and she cannot help but follow. You fall in love with God like that and pursue him with all your heart. She will pursue you. You say, well, I'm not getting this and that. Don't worry about that. You pursue God. They've told me about the hard times. They've told me about the difficult times. But they reap the benefits of pursuing God. And so as we have empowered this tonight, I want you guys to recognize him as he speaks on my behalf. If he's talking to you or whatever, I want you to know he speaks on my behalf. He is the mouthpiece for what God is doing here and saying here. And I'm excited that we have this opportunity. I am so blessed, Scott, to have you. I know I tell you, but you, I just want you to know from the bottom of my heart how much you mean to me and Darnell, both of you guys, because this is a cooperative effort. I know that, but tonight was just a recognition of that part. They are going back down to Mexico this coming week and for about 10 days, and I know that down there, he is ministering. There's a small group in this little wicked town that is full of the demons. And in the midst of that, they are down there. He's helping a guy out, praying over that guy, imparting into him, speaking life over him. He calls me, Greg, what do you think about this? And we talk about it. And then he goes and he does it. And so it's just exciting to see. And what's the name of the town? Todos Santos. So I want you guys this week just to keep that in the back of your mind, because as they go down there, this is a place that every pastor that's ever tried to come in there lasts for about less than a month and is ran out by the wickedness that is in this town. And there's a little couple that they have linked up with, a little couple that has basically moved there with they got a baby on the way. There, okay, and now they are trying to do missions work there. And what's their names, by the way?
Byron and Stevie.
Byron and Stevie. And the baby's Noah. No, oh, Noah. Hey, go Noah. How about that? Byron and Stevie. And so as they go down there, I just keep them in your mind in your prayer life, because I'll tell you what, this is a tough, tough place. I did not empower Scott to go down there and do that, because I knew that, but he is, I believe that the Lord has given him a measure of spiritual authority over what's going on down there. That's why he's there. And he is there to impart into this guy and just to continue to help Byron. And so, it's exciting to see that. So, as we close tonight, we're going to just do one more worship song. But as we were doing that song earlier tonight, Come Alive, Come Alive. I don't know if you remember, but what it was talking about the sons and the daughters. And as Scott was speaking tonight, I'm going to take a little step a little bit further than he did. He said, well, I don't know if people who aren't pursuing aren't saved. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe they are. I believe we're in a backslidden state when we're just stagnant. If we're not ever pursuing, we're ever backsliding. That's the way Tozer would say it. And he says, if we're not going this way, then we're sliding back this way. And you know right now, you know people in your church, you know people in your family, you know people around you that are in that state. Maybe you're in that state tonight. As we sing this song, I want you, if it's yourself, you know what, make that prayer of rededication. Lord, I want to get come alive, Lord, come, Spirit of God in me, come alive. And if not, if there's somebody that the Lord brings to your mind, a family member, somebody who's in your church with you, just somebody that the Lord brings, let's just speak that prayer over them.